Okay, let's go at it for 5-6 minutes. Thank you, Daniel. So tell me, with all the discussions that's going on, how do we as a group deal with doubts about God and His ways? I know I heard some stuff. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out like your group discussion. Just give me a sentence.
We don't have a problem with God. We have a problem with ourselves.
Oh.
When it comes to doubts.
Okay, so maybe it's our... So that's another problem. So our doubts may be because of ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that what
you're...
Right. Oh, okay.
And we got it. We heard wrong. Or we're not sure.
We are the problem.
Don't have enough faith.
That's probably true. That's another class that Pastor Alex will talk to us about.
Okay.
We are the problem. Okay.
Anyone,
that's a good title. We are the problem for your sermon. Okay. Anyone else? The issue is you. Okay. Anyone else? How about the group in the back? Peter.
I said like what I have doubts.
Yeah.
Doubts like balancing like suffering like that's like control.
Yeah, suffering and control.
I said like how I feel that is I watch like YouTube videos and like I talk to other people about like how they think like God works that way.
Oh, you talk to others.
Yeah, I
okay.
talk to others, and I try to, like, I guess, just figure it out with, like, some extent, like, reasoning. Because, like, I said, like, you don't really need to have, like, quote unquote, like, here's a full, like, blind faith. Like,
okay.
You just don't have,
yeah.
Faith, like, try to make sense of it.
That's great. Yeah, and did that help you to uncover some answers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, definitely a lot of,
still, there's no questions. Yeah, that is true. We will never know until God reveals it to us. Anyone else?
Bobby had something similar.
Yeah.
He asks God. And
he asks God.
And
okay,
then,
that's a good one to go to. Ask God.
And then if that doesn't help, he asks Pastor John.
Who's Pastor John?
Pastor John Piper.
Oh, okay, so John Piper's right under. Ask God, if that doesn't work, ask John Piper.
I listen to his podcast.
Okay, ask Piper. He's a good one. Piper answers some questions of mine, and it's great. But what happens when John Piper doesn't answer your question?
So that's just part of
that's
my
part of
the process. That's when you ask Peter the question, does it fully, as I interpret it, does it fully answer your question?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say no, because this is part, one of the steps.
Okay.
Another step, you know, not that it would be to completion, but I would seek counsel from others, like brothers.
Okay. Yeah. So I ask others, talk to others, seek counsel. Yeah. Anyone else?
And, you know, I would also
pray. Ask God, pray. Anyone else? How do you deal with doubts?
You guys put it aside? Does any of you guys kind of put it aside and not think about it for a while? That's one way. I did that.
Put it away? Because it hasn't been answered by John Piper. And I'm like, if John Piper can answer that, I'll put it aside for now. Okay?
Sweep it under the rug.
Sweep it under the rug. That happens. Eventually, it's going to come up. But yeah, but that is just, I'm not saying it's the right way, but that is a way. Put it aside.
Give it time.
Yeah, give it time. Okay?
You know, for me, what I shared in our group is that I do have certain doubts, questions,
yeah,
that there's a pile of them that are like unanswered, but there's a strange simplicity that I have in my faith that is also the reasons why, to me, the study of the names of God is really important. Because for me, in the face of doubts, I bank on who God is. Like, I bank on it. So I
what
bank,
do you mean I bank on it? Like, you just accept, like, blind faith? Somebody mentioned blind faith or
no.
It's not blind faith.
It's just
okay.
faith.
It's
but
just
I think my faith, I think I'm more simple in that way.
Okay.
It's a simple faith in a belief of who God says he is. And so I can hold on to that. And that's sufficient to, like, that foundation, I mean, that's the word Bob just used, that's a foundation that allows a pile of doubts to sit on it sometimes. I don't, the one thing I tried that, well, I'm not even trying not to, I don't think I doubt what the scripture says who God is. And so I can bank on that. So if we're talking about suffering and evil, I still go back to, like, who God is. I want to understand who God is in that, and I can trust. Yeah.
So you're banking on scripture and what it says about God.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who I've
That's a good one.
And who I've experienced God.
And who you experience.
To be, yeah.
So you got,
like,
banking on God in
yeah.
faith and experience in scripture. You kind of bank on all of that as a one whole thing.
And I think that did, like, someone said give it time. I think that has built up over time.
Over time.
Yeah, because I get to experience even those names right there that we see. Like, I've experienced a lot of that in my own life. I've experienced God in scripture being validated.
Okay.
So I could have doubts that kind of sit on top of those things.
Cool. And then, but there's still doubts there. But then this is, okay, yeah. Anyone else? You guys agree with that? Or,
have to, but.
Is that your experience as well? Anyone online, feel free to share. We didn't get to hear you, but you're more than welcome to share.
Yeah, for me, I just like sometimes try to watch YouTube to watch those debates, apologetics debates, and
apologetics.
So yeah, and also like especially I often watch Unbelievable, a program called Unbelievable on YouTube by Justin Breyer. Yeah, I think that sometimes it helped some, but I still haven't felt completely convinced yet.
Okay. Yeah, so you take the studying approach of apologetics, studying about God, going on YouTube and other avenues where you can learn more and educate yourself more. Yeah. Okay. So and I think we all do all of this, you know, at different times, different seasons. And I experience this as well. So there comes to a point where certain things are answered, like what Peter was saying, oh, that was answered because I sought counsel, I talked to others. But there are doubts where it gets to a point where it becomes unanswerable. And it has bugged you, but it has affected you because you're experiencing it. And you don't get an answer. You don't, not from God when you pray, not from Piper when you ask, right? And then what happens at that time? Do you default to what Pastor Alex says? I just bank on what the scripture says, that God is good. Even though I have these doubts, you know, I know Zoe mentioned, like, what is up with all you got telling people to the Israelites to kind of wipe out an entire nation. But I'm gonna just bank on the fact that God is good. I know there's a reason. So what happens at the very last filtering stage, if you will? Yeah, Cindy?
So I feel like I was thinking about that last week too.
I know that I've heard that question before too, on questions on faith, but I guess first thing is like I'm glad that she holds on to her faith despite her questions, right?
And I think like in my own life I've had to kind of just, I don't know, surrender in my word, but like allow the idea that if God is God, then I can never truly grasp him on my small human, like, intellectual level, right? He has a massive space that I'm not even able to be, you know, part of, because he's so infinitely greater.
Okay.
He's the Almighty, right?
Yeah.
He is, in order to
he's be El Shaddai.
Almighty. Yeah, exactly. If he is El Shaddai, then I'm, like, so far down, like, there is no way I will understand the mysteries of God.
He's not El, not Shaddai.
What's the not verb in Hebrew? I don't know. But like, I need to allow that like awe of God, that he is rightfully God. He exists in a space that I can't comprehend, and to marvel in that, like that one day I will understand him fully, but today I can't, and I trust. And I believe, I think Rebs talked about belief, you know, like, do I truly believe in? And I accept that there are things that make him sovereign God. And that's why I'm not sovereign God, right? I can never be like level with him, right? And I think there's that, like, you need to get to a point where you know that you are forever limited in your understanding of God, but you love him and you believe and trust him, even in that. You know you're secure.
Yeah, I think, but now that I'm reflecting on that, at the end, one person could also just say, well, he's so far beyond my understanding, and so I'll just never get it, and then, like, disconnect from God.
Yeah.
Or you could say, or it's the affectionate, loyal, I don't understand it, but I'm still gonna pursue and love, and, you know, in my life, I just realized that that theology of, you know, God's sovereignty can still go two ways in terms of if you're looking at it in a physical relationship. And I was sharing with them, for me, I had a very profound moment by God's grace, like early when I was in 20, where what you're describing, some people call it the dark night of the soul, where you're completely lost, God's not answering, and you're just in the pits. But at the end of that, the simple question was, Rebecca, if I never answered any of your questions from here on out, would you still believe me? Would you still follow me? And I just, it didn't take very much. I didn't have to like weigh things. It was just like, yeah, I would. Like, I don't understand you. And I guess, I mean, even if you didn't answer anything, and I didn't learn anything else about you, like, I would still follow and give my life for you. And that was that. I was sharing, that's why, for me, it's like, doubt, whatever, it's like, he doesn't have to answer me, and I just move on.
I see, yeah, he doesn't have to answer.
It's because of that moment. But in that moment, I could have just also said, well, I don't get you, so never mind.
Yeah.
Like, you're too far beyond me, so never mind. You know.
It's a hard thing, right? You can surrender to God or surrender to the doubts, right?
Right.
Kind of a thing. You can surrender. I admit, Cindy mentioned the word surrender, which is you get to a point like you surrender, but there's two avenues. You can surrender to God, like you are El Shaddai, or yeah, I don't get you, so I'm gonna ask you. I'm going to stop kind of pursuing you. Because I don't get you anyways. That's a different attitude, right? Like, okay, fine, God, whatever. That's a little different. very subtle, but it leads us into two different paths into our faith journey. Is that Jackson? Okay. Yes, screechy voice. Only you would say that, yeah. Okay, we're not talking about me. So
the issue is you.
This issue is me. We are the problem. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. I like where we're going with that. Now, this goes right in. By the way, his name is the Almighty. He is the Overpower. That's the name. That's the meaning of El Shaddai. There's no secrecy to that. He is El Shaddai, the Overpower. But did you know that El Shaddai occurs 48 times in the Bible? 31 of them are in the book of Job. So this is Genesis is the first time you find his name. But the rest of the time, nobody ever uses it. Rarely. They'll use Jehovah Jireh, you know. But El Shaddai is used by Job. Or a person that we never want to be in the situation of, quite honestly, but we all know Job. We don't need to go to the story. And why do you think that is? Right? Maybe we don't, I don't know. I was just asking myself, why do you think 31 of them, Job is in the worst situation that a man can possibly go through. And he's using the Almighty. When he calls out to God, he's referring him to El Shaddai. He knows a lot of God's name, but he chooses intentionally to use El Shaddai. Any idea? Kevin, did you have something you want to share? I wasn't sure. I'm still imagining you lock eyes with me. I'm like, okay. Don't lock eyes with me.
I mean, I guess what I was thinking is that in Job, like, he wants God to be Almighty because of his circumstances.
Okay.
So he wants the Almighty to overpower the circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's very good. Yeah. Thus, the situation is too hard and too overwhelming. I need someone who is bigger than me, who is overpowered to overcome my circumstances. Yes. Yes, certainly that was what Job was asking for. Yeah. Any other reason that you, why he would be like using El Shaddai so many times?
Just out of curiosity,
yeah.
I was really quickly just scrolling through Job. Uh-huh. It's like mostly like a chapter of him responding or him talking to his friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Friends, right? Like one after another, right? Do you happen to know if it's like just Job's dialogue that he uses El Shaddai and his friends, do they also?
Oh, that's interesting. But I think I have an answer to that. Okay. It's mainly Job.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to show you the places where he uses it. Okay. Do we want to read it together? Just really quickly, can we start with Bob and then just read each one? Yeah, and then we'll just go down. Just read the first one.
Job 5:17. Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves, therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty.
Oh, should I? Okay, that's Alex.
For the arrows of the Almighty are in me, my spirit drinks their poison.
Cool.
The terrors of God are arrayed against me.
So Almighty is El Shaddai, okay? Okay, Kevin?
If you seek God and plead with the Almighty, so grace.
Okay. Nancy?
Can you find out the deep root of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty?
Okay, Cindy?
But I will speak to the Almighty and I desire to argue my case with God.
Delise?
what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we get if we pray to him? Let their own eyes see their destruction and let them drink of the wrath of the Almighty.
Yes.
He said to God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do to us? If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. If you remove injustice far from your tents, then the Almighty will be your God and your precious silver. For then you will delight yourself in the Almighty and lift up your face to God.
Thanks.
As God lives, who has taken away my right? And the Almighty, who has made my soul bitter? Will he take delight in the Almighty? Will he call upon God at all times?
Shall fault find their contempt with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my eyes.
That's actually the end of this Almighty series. And in Job 42, that's when everything is restored, right? This is the very end of Job's conversation with his complaints and doubts. There's actually more in here. What's Job's response to the Almighty? In light of the question, why do you think El Shaddai is most used by Job? And how did he come to that at the very end?
Who am I?
Where did he land on? He started with doubts, right? Who am I?
I'm but a speck of dust. You are God, and who am I? That's what I'm reading.
Anyone else? What do you see Job's, like, his mind, or you can track it as it's going, what does it land at the end?
He's like,
he surrenders?
It's all you. That's right.
Does that sound good or bad?
I think that's good.
You think that's good?
That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
So because I wanted to respond earlier to another question that you had, which was, you know, I think of Jacob and wrestling with Jesus, right? And that's where, you know, it's like, and that's I really relate to that. Just I feel like I do that very often. Like, I'm just like, I don't ask God. I ask Piper before I ask God.
Mm-hmm.
So, or I seek the counsel of others before I ask God. I do whatever else. I try to rationalize it before I ask God. With all of these things, I wrestle with Jesus until I say, I can't do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where kind of relate to Brett's too. It's like okay. And now at this point, after all of this, now I don't know what else to do. And I am at my wit's end. I surrender.
Uh-huh.
I think that's where Job is.
Yeah. And not everyone needs to go through this process, right? Not everyone is at, I'm at my wit's end, I give up, everything. Not everyone experiences that. I don't think we go looking for it either. I don't know if you guys have or have not, or you have and you're out of it, you're in the midst of it, you're going into one, but I think in our lives at some point, we're all going to be here, a little bit of here, right?
And it's good because you're either surrendering to God or surrendering to the doubt. That's when you realize, where is my faith? Like, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, do I really think
I'm looking at the bottom one. I'm looking at that.
Okay.
It's good because then you know if your faith is
genuine or not. If you're still believing.
Yes. Because am I going to God, or am I surrendering to God, or am I surrendering to the doubt? Like Brett was saying, I can go either way, right? I can just leave. Then that's when you realize, I think, it's my faith real. It's my faith genuine. I think that's why it's good. That's why.
Yeah.
A parenting reflection. So I feel like something like this happens with Jackson. It's because when Jackson has a question, it's all, and I answer it, sometimes he's like doubting the accuracy of my whatever I say, the fact or something. And so he's arguing with me on a fact. And I'm like, I know this. Like, I'm 100% sure. Like, I bet my life on it. I'm pretty sure you don't know, right? But he's still arguing with me. And in the end, I have to say, Jackson, either you trust that I know and you just let this go, but I don't appreciate you arguing with me. If you keep arguing, like, this conversation's over, right? I know, respect me, trust me. But it always says, hey, do you think I would ever lie to you? You know, and but I'm like, but I'm answering and you don't get it, that's okay. But if you trust me, then you gotta let it go. And I feel like in some ways, because right before that ending, God answered Job, right? Like, who am I to have to answer to you, right? I'm like this. And then Job's like, yeah, I'm just gonna shut my mouth because I have nothing else to say. And to me, that's like a, okay, you're right. Like, you clearly know something that I don't, and I'm just gonna start arguing and stop asking, right? And so I kind of see that as like a, not like the surrendering, like, oh, I'm just never gonna get the answer, or I'm never gonna get my point across. It's more like, you're right, I just gotta let it go and trust that you've got something, and you see something that I don't. And
yeah.
I don't like my situation, but I'm letting my argument go.
I wonder if Jackson will be closer to you in the relationship because of that.
Maybe, because it's I always put it in the premise of, do you trust me that I would not lie to you about this? Because I've said, if I don't know, I will tell you I don't know. But if I tell you that I know, then you gotta trust me that I'm right. You know? So it's more of on the basis of, it's not about understanding and am I making myself clear to you. It's on the basis of trust. And the higher level thinking, the higher knowledge of me as a parent. And
yeah.
So for God, it's like, do I trust that God has a higher knowledge of things? And no matter how he explains it to me, like, I'm just maybe not getting it, or I will never get it, or, but in the end, it's about not just confessing, yeah, you're smarter, but it's like, oh, I trust you in how you're dealing with me. I trust you in what you choose to share, not choose to share.
So do you guys think that Job's response is actually, he's sharing about, hey, I'm closer to God now.
I think it's such a, so this story is like so difficult, I think, for, because it's seemingly like very random. You know, like Job is a righteous man. He doesn't deserve this terrible calamity, right? Like, he's a wonderful, you know, person, you know, like he's wealthy, but he's generous, he's devoted to God, he does everything right, quote unquote, right? Like, even if accidentally he sins, he sacrifices, you know, even sacrifices in case his children.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's like the best, right? Like, he's done everything right? But like, God allowed this most horrible thing kind of randomly, you know, because of somebody saying like, oh, well, you deserve a joke, you know, like, I want to
What's
up, right?
With
so
that?
It's kind of a story, right? And not only is he in this miserable state, he has to defend himself against you know, why he's chosen to be faithful to God and not desert his faith, like, to these people who are challenging him, like, oh, it must be your fault, or, like, you know, they're, like, making it work, just like the worst friends ever, right? Like, so, like, he has to defend his position,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's, like, such a hard place to be, and I kind of feel like he has to rely on that name of God. That's why he uses it. Like, God is his only defense. He can't say, oh, I'm in a mistake because of any other reason. You know, and he doesn't believe he's being punished for his sins. You know, he doesn't believe it's because he did something wrong or someone else did something, or, you know, or he can't explain it by logic to any, he can't defend himself to his friends any other way other than just using the name of God. You know, like, it's because uh-huh. God is the Almighty, like, and I'll describe him for you. You know, it's such an unusual place to be. Right?
Yeah.
That he can only call on that name to say, like, the Almighty, he's sovereign, it's his choice, you know, to do this, and I trust that. That's it. You know? And what's cool, though, I think at the end is God kind of answers finally, and the way he describes himself, you know, like, maybe you're kind of like the most universe. You know, he is illustrating that he is the Almighty, you know, ultimately. Like that. The way I see it is like, that's the only
yeah.
thing you have. It's just use El Shaddai.
Just use El Shaddai. You know, as you guys were sharing, I think when we get to the point where there's no answer, no help, nothing else, full of doubts, full of questions, and God's not answering, this is the last lifeline type of thing. It was for Job, right? Obviously, he's at the end of his rope. And the only thing, I think that's why this name, the only thing left is just to say El Shaddai. And there's a lot of names, but if you ever catch yourself in a situation where, you know, oh, Jehovah Jireh is not working. Jehovah Shalom is not working. Jehovah, you know, El Roy is not working. Oh, my shepherd is, I can't see my shepherd. No, seriously, it gets to a point where all these names are not working. I think you go to El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. That's what Job did. And I think that's what the Bible is teaching us.
When nothing makes sense.
When nothing else makes sense. You go to the overpower. You say, you're the Almighty. Right? Lily said in the chat, he is God and I'm not. And I think that's the end. Huh?
Mic drop,
that's it. El Shaddai, boom, that's it. Let's hope we never get to that point. But in today's world, in today's life, so many uncertainties. The likelihood, unfortunately, of us experiencing this is higher than before. It's much higher. I mean, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I think we see it. And El Shaddai is the last one. The last one. You hold on to El Shaddai, and then we'll see each other on the other side of heaven type of thing, right? Sounds, yeah.
There's a story I heard recently.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, but there's like this bird that was flying. You know, birds fly south for the winter, right? So because it's too cold, birds trying to fly south for the winter. But along the way, it's flying and gets too cold. In the process of flying south for the winter to warm up, the bird started to get too cold and couldn't fly. So it started to feel its muscles freezing. So the bird fell into a field where cows were grazing and kind of like froze, like body like locked up. And so it slowly started to freeze to death until a cow came over and took a dump on it. And the bird's like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna die. I just got dumped on. But very soon, the bird started to feel warm because of the manure that it was in. And it started to feel so good. It started to feel its body started moving. And so it started to sink, right? It's in the manure, but it's warm and it's so joyful. Now it's like singing. But because it started singing, a cat came over nearby and started to hear the sound of the bird. Started to dig out the bird. And the bird was like under a pile of manure, so started to like dig it out of the manure in order to eat it. Fortunately, the bird escaped. And the bird learned three lessons. Number one, not everybody who dumps on you is your enemy. Okay. Number two, not everybody who digs you out of trouble is there to help you. And in all the confusion of what occurred, bird said, "Thou shalt die." I had never done that.
Yeah. Oh, I think I heard
like
a version. Yeah.
You can't understand what goes on in life. You can't trust everything that's happening, but you can trust that God is God.
Yeah. But associating El Shaddai with that is you'll never forget El Shaddai. That's good. I like that.
You gotta lock it. Yeah, the preachers have it. That's a preacher's habit. You gotta lock in the name.
That name, but you're gonna be associating that name.
It's an interesting picture.
Yeah, that picture.
Rosenberg,
Rosenberg.
What would you say? How should I?
That helps to sum, you know, this up. Basically the last straw, right? El Shaddai. Yeah.
I've heard of a phrase, and I'll never forget it. It says, you don't know God is all you need until God is all you have.
Yeah. That's easy to fit.
So
last straw.
Think about that. That's kind of like, to me, it sums up what?
Okay. Yeah. So if anything out of this class today is just carry El Shaddai, have it ready, because when you get dumped on, right, when that's all you have is that dump, it's El Shaddai, right? So, yeah, if anything, just keep that name handy.
I was going to go in, there's more, but I don't think we need to go into more. I think that's it. That's good. All right. That's Alex, you want to close in prayer for us? That's your dad.
All right. Father, we thank you that, I think we've all been there before, when sometimes things in our lives doesn't make sense. We can't fully reason through it. We can listen to YouTube and read books as much as we want, and you still remain shrouded sometimes in mystery. And a lot of things that when we face them, I love the word that our sister used, that we have to either choose to surrender to the doubts, or we choose to surrender to who you are. And we want to always choose the latter and trust in you. May these times of doubts that we may face always draw us, even as our sister said this morning, cause us to come to that inflection point of saying, Lord, yes, I do believe you, I do trust in you. Just as Jackson would have to make a choice of whether or not to trust his mom, or to help us to have the strength and the grace to always trust you. And that would be our final landing spot. Thank you for our teacher this morning and for your word. Thank you for us to be able to explore your names and to learn about how you choose to reveal yourself to your people. Thank you so much for that. Help us to experience you more. Praise Jesus' name.
Amen. All right.